We mentioned yesterday that the Gemara says that if you have a Rishus HaRabim cannot be Nitza with Tzuras HaPesach alone. So the source for that is actually Dach Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara asked Tanu Rabban Kitzim Me'arvin Derech Rishus HaRabim. How do you make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara starts off by saying, Ose Tzuras HaPesach Mekan Velechi Rikor Mekan. But then Gemara says that Rishus HaRabim in the Arba. How could you get away with the just Tzuras HaPesach in order to be matzah carrying in a Rishus HaRabim? The Gemara quotes a brisa from Rabbi Yehuda, who says, yes, okay, and if somebody has two houses, b'shnei seder Rishus HaRabim, we can make a lechi mikan, mikan. And the Amulo, there was a response that was rendered to him. This is on the top of Bava and Beis. You're not allowed to make a Rishus HaRabim Bekach. Maybe you could do it with doors. If not for the fact that the doors of Yerushalayim were closed at night, and therefore access was restricted to Yerushalayim, so we see that not only would you need doors, you would need the doors to actually be closed and to be restricted to the outsiders in order to take away the Rishus HaRabim status of Yerushalayim because of the fact that it was Rishus HaRabim, and therefore the only way in which it could possibly be released from that status would be if there would be also se'aninolos, if you would have doors that would be closed. So we see a Tzuras HaPesach is not good enough. So therefore, that's why it's all the more important to define what exactly is a Rishus HaRabim, so we would know when we are not able to use this particular tikkun for our neighborhood. So what constitutes a Rishus HaRabim, what doesn't constitute a Rishus HaRabim? So Rashi, on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, gives the definition for Rishus HaRabim. Mashma, Rakov Sheshis Reyama, so it has to be 16 amos wide. 16 amos wide is at least, it's about 24 feet, somewhere between 24 feet and 32 feet, somewhere in that domain. We know that from the Kerashim in the Midbar, because we're told that the Kerashim took up a space of about 16 amos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Tzayiches and Aleph, which describes the contours of the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar, since that was the original source of how we know the Malacha of Hotzah from the Mishkan, and therefore we have to see exactly what was the domain of the Avodah that was done in connection with the Mishkan. So we know that the Kvashim that were moved around occupied 16 amos of space, and the Gemara there as well says that it wasn't Mekorah, that they didn't have ceilings over them. So therefore, if you have a ceiling over the area, so then that's also a Tanai that is necessary, that it will not constitute a Rishus HaRabim if there is a ceiling. It can't be Mekorah either. And then Rashi throws in one other condition, which is not found explicitly in the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Sadiches, just says it has to be Dome L'Digle Midbar. Is to be domeh to the arrangements of the camps, of the encampments in the Midbar. It doesn't say, though, what Rashi's about to say, and this is what created the revolution in the world of Erev. And Rashi says, V'ir shemetsuyin ba shishim ribo, that another criterion for Rishus HaRabim is that just like in the Midbar, we know that B'nai Yisrael had 600,000 people, actually had 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, but the explicit number that we're given in the Torah is 600,000. So therefore, that's the sign for us that we need at least 600,000 people who are mitsuyin ba, who are, according to the simple reading of Rashi, who are located within the city in order for it to constitute a Rishus HaRabim. And that's ve'en b'chom, if there's no walls. As if there's wall. Oh, the girsa that most people have in Rashi is an O. The Rashi has this girsa in Rashi. Rashi says the word O. Shahaya Rishus HaRabim Shalom Mekuva Mishar L'Shar Shem Meshulash Dome L'Digle Midbar, meaning that even if there's a walls around it, but you have a highway going in the middle, you have a main street going through the middle, which is Mekuva Mishar L'Shar, it goes from one end of the city to the other, So that also creates a problem of Rishus HaRavim. That's what it sounds like according to Rashi. So this is reinforced as well in the next page when Rashi talks about, in the next Amud, Vavam and Base, when Rashi talks about Yerushalayim. How do we know that Yerushalayim was a Rishus HaRavim? So Rashi says, similarly, Rishus HaRavim Shalah, Mikuvim Mishar Lashar, here Rashi says that it had a Rishus HaRavim, that there was at least a street that went from one end to the other end, Umefulash, and it was absolutely open on both ends, Yesh Badrisa Shishim Ribo, and you had at least 600,000 people. Here Rashi doesn't say the Lashon that he had on Vavam and Aleph. Vavam and Aleph, Rashi has the Lashon of Yer Shemetsuyim Ba. Here Rashi goes further. He says, V'yesh Badrisas, says that you have the actual trampling, you have the walking of Shishim Ribo, of 600,000 people a day, V'rachav Shesh Yisrei Amo, and it's 16 Amos wide. And Tosfos as well, here on the bottom of Vavam and Aleph, so Tosfos, so quotes from Rashi. This is Tosfos Dibur Hamaskil Kesim Me'avin Derech Rishus HaRavim. So Tosfos conflates the Mefulosh with all the other criteria. So leaving aside the O for a second, assume that this is a necessary component of any Rishus HaRavim, meaning that this would create a Rishus. Any Rishus HaRavim has to have Mefulosh. You could even have Mefulosh with a Choma, Rashi is telling us, but every Rishus HaRavim has to have Mefulosh. So Pirish Kutras, Rishus HaRavim, Rachav Yudva Vamos, it has to be 16 Amos wide, Mefulosh, Mishnei Tzadim, Mishar Lashar, Mitsuyim Ba, Shishim Ribo, and it has to have 600,000 people. And he quotes another source to be a sidekick for Rashi, so Rashi shouldn't be alone in this. Ochen Yesh Bahag says in the Halachas Gedolos, we also have this. Davina Drisa Samach Ribo also has the Lashon of Drisa Samach Ribo, which Rashi has above him at base. So Tosfos is the first one to throw a little bit of a wrench into this Shita, saying, B'kashal Rabbeinu Tam. So we know that not everybody necessarily agreed with this 600,000 idea. Because, after all, in the Sefer Shabbos, Perek HaZoe, Gama Dagolos, Havu Tachtenu, B'nei Mishus HaRabim, B'tachten Lo Yusamach Ribo, in the little area where the wagons were located, you didn't have 600,000 people who were able to squeeze between the wagons. B'yom Merid, B'kol Markom, Darkan, Hayo, Lotzeis, Lobo, B'yosadeuch. So the Reed comes to Rashi's rescue and says, no, in that general area, people would constantly be coming and going. And then he brings the Rabbeinu Tam in another kasha, the Redigle Midbar, Butap in Nashim Le'emisbar. If you're going to come out with 600,000, why stop there? You may as well add all the children and the women. They weren't counting the 600,000. And what about the Erebab? They were, according to some Shitas Kipwayim, according to some Shitas, more than the amount of Bnei Yisrael. The Yesh Lomar, the Logaminim and Mishkan, and most of the Ksivim Misbarim. So again, the Re comes to Rashi's rescue that the reason we end up with Shishim Ribo is because we picked the number that the Torah tells us. The Torah didn't give us the other numbers. So if the Torah didn't give us the other numbers, then it can't have halakhic significance. We picked the number that the Torah told us because obviously that was meant to have halakhic significance since we're deriving all of these halakhos from Digle Midbar that the number of people that they had has significance for us in terms of defining Hotzah, in terms of defining the criteria for Rishus HaRavim from Melech HaShabbos. Therefore, we pick on the number of 600,000. So it comes out that within Tosfos, we see there's a tension between Rabbeinu Tam and the Re. That according to Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like this idea of 600,000. He doesn't think that's a necessary criterion of a Rishus HaRavim according to the Re. So the Re comes to Rashi's rescue. So you have already, just looking at our Gemara, just looking at the page, so you already have three authorities who are supportive of this idea that in order for something to constitute an area, to constitute a Rishus HaRavim, requires 600,000 people, either who are Mitsuyan, according to one Lashon Rashi, or who are Dorset, who are trampling, walking within the area. You have basically the Shita of Rashi, you have the Shita of the Bahag, and you have the Shita of the Re. And the only dissenting view that we have seen thus far is that of Rabbeinu Tam. This is also Rashi, also later on in the Masechta, on Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah there talks about Yirsho Yachid, Benaseh Sashel Rabim. So when Rashi defines what is an Yirsho Yachid, there seems to be a source for another possible requirement in order for something to constitute a Rishus HaRabim, that it has to be publicly owned. If it's only privately owned, so then even if you have 600,000 people who pass by, so that also would prevent it, presumably, from becoming a Rishus HaRabim, like Rockefeller Center, right? So that is privately owned. So Rashi here as well, in the definition of Yirsho Yachid, so Rashi says, Shelo ayu nechnasim batamid samach ribo, shel b'nei adam. Here suddenly Rashi throws in the word tamid, that we didn't have on a regular, constant basis, 600,000 people passing by. It's Rashi's definition there. But we see from that definition of Rashi that Rashi is also throwing in, once again, this consideration that in order to constitute a Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000. And the reason that Rashi gives is the Lo Damya Le Diglei Midbar. You have that as well when in the Gemara, in the Tosfos, which presumably is representing the Shitas Hari, the Tosfos in Shabbos on Daf Saiches, the Tosfos there, based on the discussion of the Gemara that indicates that it has to be Doma LeDiglei Midbar. So Tosfos says that it's Mashma from this Gemara. Tosfos actually uses the Lashon as Mashma from this Gemara. That being in Samach Rebo, that you need to have 600,000, because after all, if it's supposed to be Doma LeDiglei Midbar, so that's the source since the Diglei Midbar was 600,000, the Gemara says explicitly that the definition of the Rishus HaRabim has to be Doma LeDiglei Midbar, so therefore that's a raya that you need 600,000 residents, 600,000 people in the city, in order for something to constitute Rishus HaRabim. So actually, it's Tosfos, I believe, Bava Midbeis in Shabbos. Yeah, but because the Gemara in Shabbos and Dav Bav gives the definitions of different types of Rishus HaRabim. Sratya, Platya, Mevuos, and Pulashim, Yelir. So these are the definitions of Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara in Bava Midbeis says, why don't we include Midbar? There's another version that includes Midbar as well. So the Gemara answers, well, no, because that's only when Bnei Yisrael was Shuyim and Midbar. Now they're not Shuyim and Midbar. So those who says, okay. So we see from here that what would make the Midbar different to actually be a Rishus HaRabim, that's when you saw a Shuyim. What's the difference that you saw a Shuyim? It means that you have a certain number of people who were Shuyim and Midbar. How many people were Shuyim and Midbar? We know there was 600,000. So it's not as if Rashi and Tosfos made up this concept from thin air. It's just that the Gemara doesn't explicitly talk about the notion of 600,000. Yes?
I just thought, like something you sort of alluded to briefly before, like in the Midbar, you said 600,000 from age 20 to 60 and only men.
Right.
So why are we, like, you know, sort of morphing it into 600,000 people and you know, why, and words, so what we should say, it has to have 600,000 men from age 20 to 60. That would be, you know, closely you to what was in the Midbar.
So those who are arguing in favor of the Flatbush Eruv, the Borough Park Eruv, were utilizing this argument. I remember that during the heat of the battle of over whether you could make an Eruv in Flatbush or not, so I heard one of the Rabbanim, who was a big proponent of making an Eruv in Brooklyn, get up and make this argument in front of his congregation. It sounded very persuasive. He said, we know that we require 600,000. Rabosai, I ask you, where were the 600,000 from? They were men between 20 and 60. So it's not just the 600,000. They have to be 600,000. They have to be Jewish. They have to be men between 20 and 60. And he gave a whole big argument. And even if you have 600,000 and altogether, you're not going to have 600,000 who satisfy all of those requirements. So this argument was actually posed to Rav Moshe when Rav Moshe was asked about this question regarding whether you can make an Eruv in Manhattan and whether you can make an Eruv in Flatbush. And Rav Moshe ruled that you couldn't make an Eruv in either place. He was machmir on these issues. So Rav Moshe, I believe at the conclusion of his tshuva in Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, So Rav Moshe addresses this question, and he says that really the point of Tosfos in the Teretz on Bava and Aleph is to point out that the number 600,000 is kind of giving us a simon. That yes, it's true that there must have been women and there must have been children and so forth, but the point is that if the Torah gave us the number of 600,000, that meant that this is the number that we're supposed to reckon with for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, for dividing the Reshus Rabim. And once the Torah gives us that number, given the reality that there were not only men, but there were also women, and there were also children, it means that we're not supposed to be nitpicky about requiring 600,000 men. No, it requires 600,000 people altogether, and there's no reason not to include non-Jewish people as well, according to Rav Moshe. It just means that we know that there were lots and lots of different types of people. We know that there was a number 600,000 that was given as the number of significance. He even suggests that maybe the reason why 600,000 is the right number is precisely because this is how we're going to reconcile these different notions of whether it's Mitsuyim Be'ir that we need or people who are walking through the year. So Moshe says it could very well be that you need people who are actually going through the streets of the city. That if the people are sitting in their homes, so they're not going to count towards the 600,000. But in order to have the 600,000 who are walking through the Midbar, as opposed to those who are sitting in their tents watching television, so then you have to assume that if you have a population which is around, say, four times or five times 600,000, so then you'll have 600,000 who at any point in time or over the course of any day are going to pass through the street. So he says the chances, the probability is that with the women, with the children, so and with the people who are underage, overage, whatever, so it was probably something like 2,400,000. He throws an estimation, of which 600,000 were found in the street. So that's his understanding of how this should work. And there were those also, as I think I mentioned yesterday, who wanted to say we should exclude those in the cars. He calls them the machines because they constitute sort of their own reshus, their own domain. So Rav Moshe just writes about that argument, lo mistaper klal. So if I recall correctly, so this Rav utilized all these arguments. This is probably after Rav Moshe published his tshuva. I don't know, he utilized all these arguments. So it sounded very good. But I wasn't sure if he was correct. I was just sitting there listening to the shiur. I was visiting at Shabbos. So it turned out that Rav was one of the major proponents in favor of the Erev. Rav Moshe, of course, was one of the proponents against it. So Rav Moshe has some tshuvas in Chelek Dalet, I think Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, Pei Tes. He has a few short tshuvas, shorter tshuvas. The tshuva in Chelek Aleph is a very long tshuva. His main tshuva, there seems to be Simin Kof Lamed Tes. He goes on for a long time. But he has a shorter tshuvas later on, specifically about Flappish. So he writes that he has to respond because somehow the word got out that they were representing that Rav Moshe held that it was mutter to build an Erev in Flappish. So he said that since the word got out that I'm one of the matirin, that I'm the one who's authorizing it, so I have to set the record straight that I don't authorize it at all. So Rav Moshe thought that it was problematic. He thought that you did have 600,000. So Rav Moshe agreed with the condition of 600,000. He just thought that you had 600,000 based on his understanding of how you define the 600,000. So that's a big deal. There are two big diyunim that, in this regard, that come up with respect to modern day Eruvin. One big diyun is a number that do you require in order for something to constitute a Rishus HaRabim, the Shita of Rashi and the Ri and the Bahag, that there be 600,000 people. And the second diyun is that if you require 600,000 people, how do you define whether or not there are 600,000 people? Are there other kulos if you have a place where it kind of looks like there really are 600,000 people? So at Moshe, once you say that there are 600,000 people, so he didn't think that there were any other kulos. So somebody wanted to suggest a different kula to him. It sounds from a few of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva sounds a little bit this way, and they want to be Medayik from Rashi this way as well, that when we talk about the requirement of Mefulosh, that the Mefulosh has to be, what's Rashi's Lashon? Shaya Rashus Arabim Shalom Mekuvan Mishar L'Shar, Shaya Mefulosh, Doma L'Digle Midbar, that there was an opening street that goes from one end of the city to the other end of the city. So many argue that in many of our cities, we don't have a street that necessarily is completely mefulish, that they wind around a little bit, they're a little bit crooked, they sometimes go in a little bit of a zigzag. So if it's not 100% straight from one end of the city to the other end of the city, so maybe even if it's satisfied other requirements of the Shusarabim, it hasn't satisfied that requirement of the Shusarabim. So he thought that was wrong as well. He said, where are you, Medayik, that it has to be entirely lined up? That he says it doesn't say in this Rashi that it has to be mavoi mekuvos mekubanos. It just says the Rosh Hashanah is mekuvah mishar l'shar. It just means that it has to start from one end and finish up in the other end. So he didn't think that you could be medayik that way necessarily. And even though Rashi, truthfully, on Bava and Beis, does have a lashon that sounds a little bit more precise, because Rashi says Rosh Hashanah mishalom mekuvah mishar l'shar. So that sounds a little bit clearer. I guess that's a similar lashon, but the reinforcement makes it sound that there is something about the kubanos maybe. However, Rashi and Nun Testament Aleph, which is cited by the Vilna Gaon on the Shulchan Aruch, says doesn't have this lashon of the kuban at all. Rashi over there, when he describes the Yerusha Yaakov, says. Shaloa, you just doesn't. Where is this? He just talks about over there that it has to be Tezayin Amma, and he talks over there as well about that it has to have 600,000, and he doesn't seem to have any lashon that as a necessary component that you need mebuos that are mekubanos, that are completely straight from one side of the city to the other side of the city. So from this, from the description of Rashi on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, it seems we don't have, like Rashi doesn't view that as such a necessary criteria. Okay. So that's what some want to argue. But others wanted to argue that no, that if it's not absolutely straight, that's another reason to be made. Yeah.
Rabbi said before that the Rosh's go race with the O, that if there's no wall, then it doesn't need to be Mekula.
So the Rosh's go race with the O, and that's our Girsa as well. But I think that the idea is that it does have to be Mefulash, but he's saying over here that even if you happen to have a Choma, and you might think that because of the fact that the two sides of the city have Chomos, that I'm not going to be able to have a Rosh Hashanah. So he says, well, in that case, you still, nonetheless, can run into having a Rosh Hashanah if you have Mekuvah Mishar L'Shan. I think some wanted to draw a distinction between an Ir She'ein Bachom and Ir She'yesh Bachom. That an Ir She'yesh Bachom, it has to be Mamash Mekuvah Mishar L'Shan, that it has to be absolutely straight. Maybe that's the idea. But if it's an Ir She'ein Bachom, so then even if it's not 100% straight, but it just is Mefulash without being Mekuvah, without being absolutely straight, so some want to say that you can see that distinction within Rashi. Yeah, so some want to make that chiluk within Rashi. Okay, but again, that would just create, that would reinforce the chumrah. Even if I understand Rashi kipshuto, Ramosha didn't understand Ramosha kipshuto, or didn't want to understand that Mekuvah meant absolutely straight. But even if I understand Mekuvah means absolutely straight, maybe that's only in Yer She'yesh Bachom.
One more question, do you want to go on?
No, please go ahead.
I suppose by the Rashi says that Yerushalayim has 600,000 people, but the Rashi says on Bavel Beis.
Right.
I think somebody may have mentioned this yesterday, but in ancient world, the cities only developed high populations after the Industrial Revolution, and now only Yerushalayim has like a population of 600,000, and in the ancient world, I think it would be like 5 or 10,000, you know, Rashi.
So Rav Moshe talks about that as well. Rav Moshe says that it could also be that in order to define the 600,000, you take into account if there are regular travelers who come into a city because it's a major metropolis and it's constantly having people who are going to and fro, that if there is the capacity and the expectation for, at any point in time, as many as 600,000, so that also could satisfy the 600,000 criteria. And he also says that he thinks that even if only certain days of the year is 600,000. You don't find the Lashon B'Kol Yom. There has to be 600,000 B'Kol Yom in Rashi or in Tosfos. Although we saw that in Rashi and Nun Tes Samen Aleph, he does have the word Tomich. So you must in Batomich. Indicating that something that has to be on a regular basis. But he says, since we don't find the Lashon B'Kol Yom in Rashi or Tosos or the Rosh, so he thinks that if even certain days of the year it's Samach Rebo, and other days it's not Samach Rebo, so it still counts as Rishus HaRavim. He goes further in his tshuvas about the Flatbush Eruv, so people kept wanted to claim that if you actually counted at any point in time, it would come out to fewer than 600,000 people who were kind of milling around or walking through the streets on any day in the Flatbush area. So he said, well, if you have to actually measure it, and if you have to actually go out and count meticulously because it's not clear, so that's also a problem. He said, Luya, so you go out and you discover it's not 600,000, it's 587,000. He said, it doesn't really make a difference because since it looks like it could be 600,000, so that's good enough because to create a problem. Because then, technically speaking, you could be Matir and Eruv under those circumstances, people will think that it's 600,000, and they'll think that it's Mutter to make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim. And since he knows you can't make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim, therefore, you would still have a problem, even if it looks like it's going to be 600,000. Then he concludes by saying that according to the maps that he received, it turns out that there's something like 3 million people in the region, so for sure, based on his calculus, figuring out 1 in 4 is going to be out on the street, that for sure it's going to be 600,000, so it's not even relevant. But even though you'd see that it would have been relevant, so he thought this was still going to be a problem. He said, you measure the city area that would have to have 600,000 according to the Diglei Midbar. Since the entire markup for this is the Diglei Midbar, therefore, you measure it by yud-based meal by yud-based meal. That was the space of the Diglei Midbar. It was 12 kilometers by 12 kilometers, approximately. So therefore, he says that's how you would measure as well. Now, it happens that Rabbeinu Tam is not the lone dissenter here. Because if you look in the Rambam in Perek Yudalit of Hilchos Shabbos, who talks about the requirements for Shus HaRabim, mentions it can't be Mekorah, it has to be Mefulash, it has to be Tezayin Amawide. But the Rambam doesn't have anything about Shishim Rebo. So the Magid Mishnah says, yeah, you know why the Rambam doesn't have anything about Shishim Rebo is because Ve'en L'zeh Remez B'Gemara. It's because he said there's no even hint or suggestion of requiring Samach Rebo anywhere in the Gemara. This was all extrapolated from the Gemara by Rashi and Tosfos based on comparisons to Diglei Midbar, based on a mention of when Yisrael was Shuyim B'Midbar in the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos. But there's no explicit mention of 600,000 per se, so therefore the Rambam discounted it entirely. So the question is, what is the predominant shita over here? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Mem Hei quotes really the shita of Rambam to begin with, and that is a Yesh Omim says, oh, and there are also Yesh Omim that in order for something to constitute a Rishus Rambam, you need 600,000. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, I think we mentioned before, the Mishnah Berurah is very circumspect, said, I don't think that one should necessarily be sumach on this, because this isn't a shita that clearly follows in the Gemara. It wasn't muskam according to all the Rishonim. We see the Rabbeinu Tam disagreed, we see the Rambam disagreed, and he says that you can't be mocha b'yana mekilim, because there is such a widespread kula to rely upon this in terms of making a ruvein, but he thought that a yori shemayim should be machmir al atzmo, not to rely upon this. That was the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. It happens that there was one achron in the early 19th century, I believe. I think it's really the Mishkan Os Yaakov. If you look in the Shuvos, the Mishkan Os Yaakov, he was extremely fierce about this point. He felt that a big mistake had been made in many communities to rely upon this kula of Rashi and the Ri, of requiring 600,000 to define something as a Rishus HaRabim, and he found many, many Rishonim who disagreed. I think that Aran who disagreed, and Rashbu disagreed, and Ramban who disagreed, Bekehena Bekehena Rabos, Arkadekach, that the Mishnah Yaakov said that he thought that the majority of Rishonim really did not rely upon this kula of 600,000, and he thought that it was a big mistake to rely upon this kula of 600,000. So he was very adamant about this, thinking that this is something that really should not necessarily be accepted la halacha. So this is a question. if we say that this really shouldn't be accepted lahalacha, or whether we should say that this is accepted lahalacha. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting lasha in Simen Shin Mem Hei, Sif. Yud Ches. So let me just find this. So he quotes this particular shita, and he goes on and says, Levadze, after establishing that there were many, many Rishonim who disagreed with Rashi, Harichu Levayer. The Rashi didn't mean that it has to be every single day, but rather Elo Kabonas Rashi Shtei Derech Mefulash Torah Shebi Yecholas Lava Bo Gam Samach Ribo, that it should be have the possibility of 600,000. Vimken Kol Drachim Shalano Ei Mishus Harabim. If that's the case, then all of our paths should be Mishus Harabim. But then he goes on to say about al kopanim. But at the end of the day, ma moel harichos achreisha ha'erevin nispashtu berov ari Yisrael habe meo shonim mikodim v'lacharak al smach heter zeh. How can you possibly go back now and be so machmer after there are so many erevin that have been created in so many big cities? For so many hundreds of years, on the basis of the heter of Rashi, uki'ilu, he says, baskol yatsa halacha kishita zu. It's as if a baskol came out and said that the halacha must be like Rashi. So how can you go against the baskol? Bimbana la'ake lo levash le'itzaisu l'anirik v'shtagim. And if we're going to stop people, not only will they not listen to us, but they'll think we're crazy. Shedavizeh nishpashe b'chol yisor v'poskim, v'ina ein lana v'shusram v'mak v'arim s'vus v'glos v'olam. That we have no Rishus HaRabim nowadays, except for like the biggest of the biggest of the biggest of cities. And as we can see, even in Manhattan, people wanted to argue that it's not really a Rishus HaRabim. So he said that since it's already been on Sonis Pashet, we can't really argue with the Baskol. I mean, this is sort of interesting because today's daf is the daf about the Baskol, because we have the sugya at the end of Bavim and Beis about how there was a Baskol that came out and said that the halacha is Kibes Hillel, and therefore you can't follow Beis Shammai anymore. So that was the question. How come our Gemara, first of all, started off saying, if you want to do like Beis Shammai, you could do like Beis Shammai. You want to do like Beis Hillel, you should do like Beis Hillel. And yet we say, Le'olam Halacha Kebeis Hillel. So the Gemara says, no, there's Kan Kodem Basko, Kan Le'acha Basko. And then the Gemara says, Yibai Se Mahava Ha Le'acha Basko Vav Yeshui, Lamashka Kebasko. Maybe even after the Basko, the shita that says you can follow Beis Shammai is going like Rabbi Yehoshua, who says Ein Mashgichin Bebaskol. So Tosfos over here says that how can it be that we would ever follow a Baskol to say after the Baskol you have to follow Beis Hillel? From the Gemara in Baba Metzia, it seems like we don't follow a Baskol. And the Baskol came out to say the halacha was like Rabbi Eliezer, and nobody paid any attention. So Tosfos gives an answer that maybe. The reason is because really we should have followed Beis Hillel anyway because they were the rov. It's just that Beis Shammai was more sharp. So since Beis Shammai was more sharp, they were Habu Harife Tvei, so therefore the Baskol had to just come out to say, well, this is a time that you would follow the normal principle of Achrei Rabim Lahatos of following Beis Hillel. And that's why they were able to follow the Baskol in this situation. So maybe that group is the Machlokas. Let's say that it was Ki'ilu Baskol Yatza. So Ki'ilu Basko Yatza makes sense if all that we had was kind of saying a machlokas between the majority and what makes more sense. That you'll say, well, the majority holds that you need 600,000 for Rishus HaRabim. But as the Magid Mishnah pointed out, Ein Lazer Remez Begimor Ve'Eino Iker, that it's just not Mistaber. It seems like the sharper argument is in favor of not requiring Shishim Ribo. So according to that, even if there was a Baskol, according to the Mishnah's Yaakov, not only is it the sharper argument that there's no remnants in the Gemara, but the robe of the Rishonim, the robe of the Shittos in the Poskim really hold that you can't rely upon 600,000. So then, according to Tosfos, there'll be no reason to be Mashkiach with Baskol, you know, even according to the first Shita in our Gemara. So therefore, that argument of the Aruch HaShulchan, I guess, wouldn't end up being so incredibly compelling. But nonetheless, I think that Rabbi Simon brought down his Sefer, he wrote a Sefer in Erevin, that when Rav Aaron Cutler came into this country, so he wanted to argue that we should no longer be sumich on this kula of the 600,000, because there was such compelling arguments against it. Even the Mishnah Berurah wasn't so happy about it. We should say you can have a Rishus Rabim even with less than 600,000 people, however you define whether they're walking through the streets, they're sitting in their homes, and so forth and so forth. So he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein apparently responded or spoke to Rav Aaron Cutler at that time and said that in America, and I guess really B'chol Tutzas Yisrael, it has already become so established that we rely upon the skula that you cannot at this point cause a change in the halachic practice of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we're going to have to go forward based on the skula. So even with the various tshuvas, and we'll get into, you know, hopefully some of the other arguments and considerations that Rav Moshe spoke about when talking about the Manhattan Erev, when talking about the Brooklyn Erev, both of which he was against. But Rav Moshe does accept the premise of that in order for something to constitute a Rishus HaRabim, you do require 600,000. The Mishnah Berurah, interestingly, with respect to this question of whether it has to be 600,000 kol yom or not, so the Mishnah Berurah says kipasti v'lo matzasi this particular misha doresh kol yom. He says I searched and I could not find anyone who requires this notion of requiring 600,000 every single day. So Rav Moshe seems to go along with that. That if it's not 600,000 every single day, it could still be 600,000. Even though, as we pointed out, Rashi in one place does use the lashon of tamid, and Rashi in another place, not Rashi, but there are other Rishonim who do use the lashon of bechol yom, but at least those who seem to be in favor of requiring 600,000 don't necessarily use that specific lashon of kol yom. Yes.
Yeah, I just wondered, Rashi and the Bali Tosfot, who were proponents of the idea of 600,000, did they utilize that for an Erev, or is there anything that pressing them to say 600,000, or is it just that we later on utilize that Shita? In other words, I'm saying when Rashi says that you know you need 600,000 for Rishus HaRabim, the Raisa, so we're able to utilize that to build a lot of Eruvim where we otherwise wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm saying when Rashi articulated that Shita, was he, in his time, were they utilizing that Shita, or was it just like a theoretical...
I don't know, it's a good question. It certainly was utilized. Was it utilized in the time of Rashi? I'm not sure. Rashi, it's a good question. But in the context of the Sugya that Rashi was talking about, it was Kesem Arabin. We're talking about the Sugya of when are you able to make a kind of a standard sort of Erev, like a Tzuras HaPesach sort of thing, but we go in there. And when is it that you can't? So when can you kind of bound together the area for purposes of creating a heads or tiltal, creating a situation where people can do tiltal, and when is it that you're not able to create the situation absent losos ninalos? There's a separate question. If you have losos ninalos, are you still able to make an Erev at that point? Meaning, are you able to have the box of matzos and if you had a Rishus HaRabim and losos ninalos, so does that just take away the status of Rishus HaRabim, but we're still not going to allow tiltul? So that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is quoted by Rav Moshe, who says that even if you took away the status of Rishus HaRabim, we're still not going to allow tiltul. We're still not going to allow you to make an Erev. So Rashi says explicitly, so it does appear to be Rashi's focus in the Sugyo, can you make an Erev or not? Rashi says, okay, well, if you have mamash or Rishus HaRabim, so then you're in trouble, you need mamash losos ninalos. But at least if you have losos ninalos, so then you'll be able to make an Erev. That's what Rashi in our Sugya, Rav Mubei, says. There might be a Rashi elsewhere that indicates otherwise. That's at least what Rashi in our Sugya says. So if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim, then you still have a problem with losos ninalos, so that will still be problematic. some put together Rabbeinu Ephraim with the Shita Sarashpa. The Rashpa says that if you mamish have a Rishus HaRabim within the city, so with Losus and Nolos, so you're able to kind of bound the area, at least excluding people from the outside. But remember, one of the conditions for Rishus HaRabim was this notion of platio. One of the scenarios in the Gemara and Shabbos that Bava Min Aleph was a platio, which was a public marketplace in the middle of the city. So he says, so who cares that you close the doors? If you have it, all the tesayinama, and you have all of the, and you have the 600,000 people who are all gathering to go to the marketplace. So what do I care if people are able to come through or not come through from the other cities? That's a separate detail with respect to what kind of system Rishus HaRabim for the highways, but with respect to the public marketplace, I still do have a Rishus HaRabim. So some kind of conflate the Shita of the Rashba and the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim. But be it as it may, once we get out of the problem of the Rishus HaRabim, so then obviously we're much more home free. The Aruch HaShulchan, just to end with this, in Simon Shin Mem Hei, has his own Limud Schos, but why it is that we're Mekel, even if you're not so crazy about the 600, about the hetter of needing 600,000 people. So he says that the classical Rishus HaRabim that's really mentioned in the Gemara is where there was one major street, and everybody would kind of converge in that one major street, in that one major area, like the Gemara talks about how everybody came to Machane Levi'a, there was one gathering place where they all came to see Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you have, in like in our cities, where there are many different public streets, and there are many different places where you have the stores and the markets and the gatherings of the people, and there's no one major public place where everybody gets together. So he says, since you can't pick out one major makom, that's a reason for us not to consider our places Rishus HaRabim. So in Chelek Dalid, when Rav Moshe talks of Hor HaChaim, when Rav Moshe talks about the Flap HaSheirim and Shuvas Pei Zayin through Pei Tes, so he quotes this Aruch HaShulchan, and he thinks it's very not mistaber. He says, who says that they didn't have multiple marketplaces and multiple places of meeting and gathering, and that the Rishus HaRabim was only defined in terms of the big, Bechov, where people went. So Moshe isn't so crazy about this particular, he thinks it's against the Gemara, this particular Chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan. But that was his contribution to the discussion in terms of trying to find a Melamed Schus for the general tendency not to find anything nowadays as a Rishus HaRabim. Yes, Hashem, maybe in a later shir, maybe in the near future, we'll discuss the Shitas Chazonish, who managed to find the akula with respect to our big cities, that B'davka, the bigger the city, the more likely it is to be a Rishus HaYachid B'Darais, according to the Chazonish, because he argued that you have Amun Meruba Ala Paritz, in the way that our cities are set up, then now that we have such big buildings, and we have the width of the buildings going vertically, and then you have streets going horizontally, with just the openings so you can get, through the street. But if you look at any vertical direction, most of it is going to be Amun Meruba Ala Paritz, and you look at the horizontal direction, it's going to be Amun Meruba Ala Paritz. So at least even if you have like a dead end at the end of the street, you'll have, a mechitza over there. So he thought that was maybe, that's how he ended up thinking he could be making in Paris to make an Eruv, that maybe our starting point is that we don't really have a Rishus HaRabim because we have Mamish Mechitzos. Before you even get to Dlossos, everyone agrees that the best possible mechitza is the best possible way to create a Rishus HaYachid, or to convert a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, is if you have mechitzas mamish. You have mechitzas mamish, so then you're able, for sure, to convert the area into a Rishus HaYachid. So he thought that you might have an argument that Mi'ikar Adin, at least on a Midaraisa level, you have mechitzas mamish. Once on a Daraisa level, you have mechitzas mamish, so then, of course, there's much more room to be makel to create an Eruv. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.